This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. The band Lord Huron is named in honor of a certain kind of Michigan summer. Guitarist and lead singer Ben Schneider grew up roaming the woods of the Mitten, imagining himself the prince of a pleasant peninsula. He's been in Los Angeles for quite a few years now, making songs simmered in a sunset haze of longing and the ghosts of romance past. He and his bandmates have outdone themselves with Lord Huron's fourth release. It's called Long Lost. The album is a sepia-toned love letter to the studio where it was recorded, with a few drops of lake love seasoning the brew. Ben Schneider joins us now. Ben, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a slow time for a lot of musicians. What's your year been like?
Well, an unexpected year, to say the least. We were in a kind of a fortuitous position in that we weren't meant to be touring much last year, unlike a lot of our friends who had to suffer through figuring out other ways to, you know, make income and make ends meet. We were just finishing a record when the pandemic hit. So,
jeez.
You know, that changes the plans, and there's a lot of work that goes into prepping a record for release. So we've just kind of had our heads down working on that mostly.
Performing I Lied from their new album, Long Lost, here's Lord Huron featuring Allison Pontier.
You guys popped up on Jimmy Fallon a couple of weeks ago, which leads me to believe that while that year was like a lot of waiting, you were able to sort of pick up the thread of where you'd hope to be with the album when things started opening up a bit.
Yeah, definitely. And just because of the way things are working right now, you know, we can't go into these TV studios to record stuff. It's all kind of on the bands at this point, where they kind of hand you the keys and say, make a video of you performing live for us to put on our show. So that takes some time, and we've kind of gotten good at that at this point.
I bore a flame that burned a thousand suns for you, but it died. Told you I could never love somebody else, but I lied.
I just loved it because it's gorgeous, but I also thought it was an interesting choice. You know, a lot of bands go for a blaster of a song if they have a big appearance like this. Why did you decide to do that one?
You know, it's usually those shows request a specific song, and it's usually whatever you have at the radio at the time. And this was kind of a rare moment where they said, you know, you can play whatever you want when you come on. And I think, you know, I knew Allison was going to be in town, and we've kind of become good friends after working together. And, you know, she's an up-and-coming artist who had never been on TV or anything before, and we thought this would be a great chance to do this together. You know, it's such a fun song to play, although the content's maybe not so fun. But it's a challenging song for the band to perform just because of the slow tempo and the sort of bareness of it. So I don't know, we looked at it as a fun opportunity to play something we might not get a chance to play on TV too much.
I'd like to think that you inspired a dramatic pause among viewers who were not prepared
so, yeah,
for this level of breathtaking gorgeousness, but hopefully loved it. Hey, I wanted to ask you about the album art for Long Lost, which is something that you did. It's this figurative painting of a Western musician, complete with the bolo tie and the big old solid body. And he has no head. He kind of has a sunset where his head would be. It's a little bit like if Ernest Tubb had his portrait done by Francis Bacon, I think.
That's a nice way to put it, yeah.
What was on your mind when you made it?
Well, the idea behind this album was sort of to make it feel like this, I don't know, indefinably nostalgic, long-lost classic, almost like some album you missed or some album that fell out of the sky from an alternate dimension or something. And, you know, I was thinking about the old cover art for albums from days of yore, you know, when it was all about catching your eye at the record store, bright colors and the face of the performer so you wouldn't forget it. You know, I think like a lot of people, I sort of rekindled some some old hobbies during the pandemic, and one of those was oil painting. And I just started doing these paintings of these long-lost characters, these long-lost performers, but I took away their faces almost like they'd been obliterated by the passage of time or by, you know, the workings of our memories.
Yeah. It works on so many different levels. It's, you know, if people want to read ahead in the clouds metaphor out of it, I guess that's there. But also the point about how sometimes we don't see the past clearly. Or the more I look at it, the more I kind of wondered if there's something there about style sometimes obscuring what it is we're trying to communicate.
Yeah, I think all that's wrapped up in there. I mean, the concept that we thought about a lot in this record is just this idea of time's blur, as we call it. And yeah, it has to do with not just our memories of the people around us, but of events and how they're sort of distorted over time. Not necessarily obliterated, but changed, modified, sometimes as a way to cope with things we've been through. And I think everybody's, you know, it was by no design by ours, obviously, and this is by no means a pandemic record, but I think everybody sort of understands that feeling right now just because we've had this, I don't know, what feels like very compressed time where so much has changed and so little time has passed, and yet things that are rather recent feel blurred beyond recognition.
Yeah. The opening track on the album is "The Moon Doesn't Mind." It's very short and has the sound of like an old 45 that was like a found object. Got a backstory, like so many things on this record, and we will get to that. But for those who were just listening to it at face value as the opening track, what did you want it to suggest to people about what was to follow?
I almost wanted to feel as though you're kind of coming into that song partway through, like you're just catching the end of it. Almost like the ending credits song from an old Western or the performance of one of those songs on an old TV show or radio show. So there's some clapping that comes in at the very end as though a crowd has been watching. So it sets the tone for the rest of the record.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, my guest today is Ben Schneider of the band Lord Huron. Their latest record is just out. It's called Long Lost. Ben, you grew up here in Michigan, and I just kind of wondered what life in LA has done for your songwriting and your ideas about arrangements.
It's hard to say, you know, because I've got nothing to compare to. I don't know what it would have been like if I'd been somewhere else or stayed in Michigan, but you know, Michigan has a really special place in my heart, and a lot of the first songs I wrote sort of sprung from my love of that place or my worship of nature, I guess. And, you know, at some point, though, I felt like I needed to broaden my horizons and started moving around. And to be honest, LA was probably the last place I thought I'd end up, but I came here, and 15 years later, I'm still here. So something about it captivated me. I think it has to do with, not that every place isn't like this, but there does seem to be sort of endless possibility here in a way that intrigues me, and also sort of just so many stories unfolding everywhere you look here. You know, there's the showbiz past of this place, which I think is sort of a genre I can get into, those sort of hard luck stories of showbiz folks, which play into a lot of the writing we've done lately. Yeah, and you know, and then the nature aspect here too. I mean, it's the nature is so accessible. I think that's continued to play a big part in what I think about and how I write.
I have a tale or two to tell you, but the booze just makes me slow. Oh, I could rack my brain remembering, but I guess maybe I'll just go. There's a method to my madness. There's a secret to this tale. How there's a reason why I'm still living here, though I can't think of it right now. I made a promise when I left for the coast 20 long years ago. I made a life chasing a ghost.
the string arrangements in the big, beautiful, atmospheric, sonic spaces, were those sort of part of your DNA before you moved west?
Yeah, to a degree. I think I've always been really interested in music bolstering storytelling. So, you know, movies, cinematic music has always intrigued me and sort of been one of my primary interests musically. I grew up, you know, playing in bands, but also playing in orchestra. I played the upright bass, double bass in the string orchestra. And yeah, I've always really appreciated that type of music and the power it can bring to something, you know? And then as I got older and got into different types of music, you know, I started kind of listening to that Nashville sound of the 60s and country music. And it's really incredible how much power can be added to a song from a string arrangement or from some backup singers. So we wanted to try to incorporate all that stuff into this record and yeah, lend it a cinematic feel that, like I said before, just feels kind of nostalgic in a way that's hard to pin down, but I think it's a musical vocabulary that people recognize and kind of carries with it a lot of emotion that's really useful in songwriting.
Can you explain where Long Lost was recorded?
Yeah, we recorded it here at LA at our studio, Whispering Pines, which is where we've been working for the past 7 years or so. We did our past three albums there. And yeah, it's an old, you know, studio built in the 70s, kind of like they don't make anymore. We found it on Craigslist, believe it or not. It had fallen into the hands of owners who didn't really know what to do with it. And it's kind of either bulldoze it or use it as a studio. You know, you can't really turn it into a restaurant or anything. So luckily we got there before they bulldozed it, and we've been working there ever since, and it's a really special place.
I was looking at the pictures on Instagram. It kind of looks like Twin Peaks, the LA County edition. It's got like red walls and parquet floors, and I mean, it's amazing that you found it in such good condition.
Yeah, well, we did have to do a little bit of fixing up. I mean, we kept most of the decor just because it had such a great vibe, but we did have to tear out a lot of old gear, and there was some water damage and whatnot, but you know, it's really got a character to it, and it really does feel sort of haunted, not in a bad way, but in a sort of friendly ghost way. It's got spirits hanging around for sure.
Yeah. The structure of the album is a series of songs suggesting characters who might have played at Whispering Pines over the years, all these ghosts that have been around in the place where you record. What kinds of people did you imagine populating it over time?
Yeah, that was fun because it could be anybody, you know, and we could play with genre and type of person. But I guess overall, it's kind of those hard luck showbiz types that I mentioned before, you know, people who present a certain sort of persona and public facing facade. You know, there's the view from the audience, but what I wanted this album to feel like was almost like when they turned away from the audience, what's the view from side stage or from backstage of these people, where the light hits them a little differently, and you see their true character and the shadows on their face and the strangeness and the sadness of their lives. And, you know, a lot of that stems from my own experiences in the business and my own feelings about the business. And then I just kind of take those feelings to their inevitable conclusions, I guess, or to their extremes, and explore mm-hmm. what it would be like to be in those scenarios.
It's kind of a grim vision.
Well, I think I've found it a sort of a therapeutic way to write is to take the darkest parts of myself or sort of the worst fears I have and just write about them, kind of face them as directly as I can, which I do see the grim side of that, but I also think it's, for me, it's been a really healthy way to avoid things in my life going in certain directions. You know, it's almost like by putting it to paper or to tape, it can't come true. So it's like a way for me to rout out those demons.
Yeah. The videos that you mentioned earlier that you made for the album and have been sort of parceling out to folks to see, they're just amazing. They're sort of styled as a public access TV show called Alive from Whispering Pines. So there's this guy who shows up in some of the clips, and I'm pretty sure he's not part of the band. Can you explain who he is?
Yeah, sure. Well, the head ghost of Whispering Pines is this guy, Tubbs Tarbell, this character we created who he kind of feels like the father figure. He's this really nostalgic guy, really sentimental guy who's just kind of haunting the studio. He seems like he's almost stuck there in purgatory, reliving all of his old memories with his old friends. So he's there to guide us through the night, and he introduces the songs, but also lets you in on some of his backstory and the things he's been through and the people he's known. And yeah, fans seem to have really grown attached to him. He's kind of a lovable guy.
Yeah, I mean, for this father figure, Tubbs, he's got quite an online presence for an old-timer. he does pop up in the videos. He showed up on Reddit on a Lord Huron thread. And I noticed that the bands who he has known at Whispering Pines are starting to pop up on Discogs in various places. And I wondered if Tubbs might have had a role to play, something to do with all of that. He's a busy guy.
Yeah, he's a busy guy. He's out there. He really wants people to know about what they've done at Whispering Pines, and he's trying to spread the word. You can even find some old memorabilia for sale on Craigslist and eBay, I think. You know, jackets worn by these people and drumsticks that Hefty Lefty used and whatnot. So he's out there.
Tubbs is not the only one who's been busy.
I guess not.
For my part, I'm going to be severely disappointed if I come to see the band this year and Tubbs is not up at the bar nursing a beer and a shot.
Well, I'll give Tubbs a call and see if he can make it. I think he'd be down.
Those Boot Scooters and Rhythm Rascals known as Lord Huron will be headed out on tour this September. They do not have Michigan dates on the calendar at the moment, but this might not be the worst time to hit the road. May I suggest for some Western locale to see them do their thing? In the meantime, you can find their gorgeous new record, Long Lost, where you stream and where you purchase your vinyl. And the videos, of course, are up on their website. Ben Schneider, thank you so much for your time. It's been fun talking to you.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for the support.
Arts and culture coverage on Stateside is supported in part by an award from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.